Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. I'm going to do the last verse of 9th chapter before I start the 10th chapter. Manmana bhava madbhakta madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi kaunteya mame vaishyasi kaunteya manmana bhava madbhakta madhyaji mam namaskuru manmana bhava madbhakta madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi kaunteya mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanah manmana bhava madbhakta madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanah. So in this verse the beauty is Bhagavan says mame vaishyasi, you will reach me. And he said you will reach me, he makes it very clear, reaching Bhagavan is only knowing Bhagavan. There's no other way of reaching, attaining Bhagavan. Mam eva yeshyasi means you will reach me alone. So how can you reach Bhagavan? Only in terms of knowledge. So knowing Bhagavan is reaching Bhagavan, which means Bhagavan says you will definitely discover me. Mam yeshyasi eva, mam eva yeshyasi. It depends upon where you put the eva. Mam yeshyasi eva means you will definitely reach me. Mam eva yeshyasi, you will reach me alone. Definitely you will discover me. But yeah, how? Atmanam, you will discover me as the very self. You will not, you can never discover Bhagavan as an object other than yourself, outside of you. You have to discover Bhagavan as your own self, as the very content of I. And Bhagavan makes it very clear here. Mame vaishyasi atmanam, he says. You will discover the self. Me, the self. Means you will discover me as yourself. But for which? For you to discover me as yourself, what should... He says, manmana bhava. First of all, may you have me in your mind. May attention be on Bhagavan. May Bhagavan become your ultimate goal. That you must be convinced that Bhagavan is my ultimate goal. So the truth is my ultimate goal. So man manaha bhava. So may you place your mind in me. The one who has Bhagavan in one's mind is called Manmanaha. Bhagavad Manaha. So Manmanaha Bhava. Manmanaha Bhava. Madbhaktaha Bhava. Very important, nice verse. All of you must memorize this verse. Madhyaji Bhava. Mam Namaskuru. Mameva Yeshyasi. Mameva Yeshyasi. Yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanaha. So that the words given are very important. So may you have your mind in me. May you have me in your mind. Means Bhagavan should become one's goal. Then madbhaktaha bhava. Madbhaktaha means, so once you have Bhagavan in your mind, Bhagavan becomes the ultimate goal of your life. Then madbhaktaha bhava. Madbhaktaha means then one who is committed to the pursuit of Bhagavan. First, decide Bhagavan is my goal. My life is ultimately to discover Bhagavan. If that goal is you're convinced of what you need to achieve in life, then naturally you become committed to the pursuit of Bhagavan as a spiritual person, as a religious, ethical, spiritual person, then you are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, then madhaktaha. Madbhaktaha means that one word is a very profound word. May you become my devotee. First have me as your ultimate goal, manmanaha bhava. Then madbhaktaha bhava. Then may you be committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Bhagavan. As a person committed to the pursuit of knowledge, then you are worshipful, prayerful, ethical. Then you are committed to live a life of dharma means, then your life is filled with Bhagavan. Not just mind is committed to Bhagavan, therefore life becomes filled with Bhagavan. Madbhaktaha. That is what is devotion. All that they want is Bhagavan. Everything is done for Bhagavan. Everything is done for purity, mental steadiness, ultimately for discovering Bhagavan. Then that is how one becomes a devotee of Bhagavan. Madbhaktaha bhava. Madhyaji bhava. Then may you be my worshipper. My worshipper means what? You can worship any devata for any palam. So madhyaji bhava, may you become worshipper of Bhagavan, not the worshipper of other devatas, which means madhyaji bhava, one who worships the Lord also for mental purity, mental steadiness, and ultimately for jnanam, not for any other result. Madhyaji bhava. So man manaha bhava, madbhaktaha bhava, madhyaji bhava, manmanabhava madbhaktaha madhyaji mam namaskuru. Then you namaskuru, may you bow to me. Again bowing to bhava, Bhagavan also. Then I told many times, bowing to Bhagavan is a physical action, physical activity where one offers salutations, prostration means doing sashtanga namaskara. 8 angas should touch the floor for men. For a woman, panchanga namaskara. 5 parts should touch the floor. But it's a literal physical action. But through this act of offering namaskaram, actually one is praying to Bhagavan to bless one with knowledge of right and wrong, to be able to only choose the right action to perform the wrong using all those limbs. Thereby, one's will also becomes surrendered to Bhagavan of Dharma. One's body, mind, sense complex, all physical, oral, mental activities become offered to Bhagavan when one's will itself becomes offered to Bhagavan of Dharma. And that is relative surrender, is relative namaskar. Absolutely, when a person discovers Bhagavan as the self, that is absolute surrender. So offering oneself to Bhagavan is the namaskaram. One, that is possible only in jnanam. So, seeking knowledge, may you offer yourself to me. May you bow to me. Mam namaskuru. Then, matparayanaha. That's very important word again. Matparayanaha means the one for whom Bhagavan is the ultimate goal. There's no second goal. First, having Bhagavan, placing one attention in Bhagavan is manmanaha. Then fear matparayanaha means placing attention in Bhagavan is possible only if a person has Bhagavan as the ultimate goal. Therefore, matparayanaha, having Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, mam namaskuru, mam, Krishna says, then mam eva eshyasi yuktva evam. Evam yuktva means in me, in this manner. So worshipping the Lord, praying to the Lord, bowing to the Lord as devotee of the Lord, and being committed, having Bhagavan in one's life, having Bhagavan in one's mind, Bhagavan as the ultimate goal. And a person as a spiritual, religious, ethical person lives his life, there's no way of missing Bhagavan. Bhagavan says, Mameva Yeshasi Atmanam. You will reach me, the self. Means you will discover me as your own self. So this promise is made. And with this, the 9th chapter ended. I know few verses which I will do again sometime. Today I'll just begin this 10th chapter. This 10th chapter is again called Vibhuti Yogaha. Vibhuti Yogaha. Vibhutihi means one with the bhutihi means wealth. And vibhutihi means glory, mahima. Vibhutihi is a feminine gender word and mahima is a neuter gender word. Mahiman shabdaha. Nakarantaha pullingaha mahiman shabdaha. Which is mahima means glory, greatness. So mahima is greatness. So here vibhuti means, vibhuti is a glory. If we take the word without V prefix, we take the word bhutihi. Bhutihi means wealth, asset. Bhutihi is wealth. All forms of wealth, all forms of prosperity is vibhuti. But visesha bhutihi, vibhutihi means all forms of wealth. All forms of wealth are Bhagavan's glory. So vibhuti means glory. So vibhuti yoga means in this chapter, the 10th chapter, Dashama Adhyayaha, which is with the title Vibhuti Yoga, he actually is enabling us to see everything as Bhagavan's vibhuti. Why should we learn to see everything as Bhagavan's vibhuti, Bhagavan's glory? When we see everything as Bhagavan's glory, I tell you, it will help us neutralize all our negative emotions, especially jealousy and envy. You know, what is envy? What is jealousy? They both are actually very close, same meaning. When I see other person having, enjoying what I also enjoy, I feel disturbed. When I see other person enjoys any comfort, any pleasure, any object of desire, what I enjoy, then I feel disturbed. Why? Because it triggers my smallness. It triggers my sense of smallness centered on I. Oh, I have it. Other person also have it. So I'm not great. I'm not superior to other person. Only if I have what others do not have, if I enjoy what others do not enjoy, that gives me some sort of sense of satisfaction, some certain degree of satisfaction that others do not enjoy what I have, what I enjoy specially. Therefore, somewhat I am superior, others are not as superior as me. So this sense of smallness centered on I, this common human fundamental problem of sense of smallness centered on I is sort of not triggered. But others also enjoy what I enjoy, then it triggers my smallness fundamental problem. Therefore, some sort of unhappiness. So the pain or unhappiness, seeing I'm being disturbed by others enjoying what I enjoy, being triggered by my own sense of fundamental problem, then that is also, then that is expression, that expression. So expression of one's unhappiness, pain, triggered by one's fundamental problem, seeing other people enjoying what other I enjoy is also jealousy, envy. Sometimes others enjoy and I do not have what others are enjoying. That also triggers my sense of smallness, my incapacity centered on I'm incapable, I'm not talented enough, I'm not fit enough, not good enough, so I'm small. So again, when I see others enjoying what I do not have, what I want to have, I do not have, but I see others enjoying, that also triggers my fundamental problem, as a result of which there's a pain. And so expression of one's pain triggered by one's fundamental the sense of smallness and down. I, seeing others enjoy what I want to enjoy but I don't have, is also jealousy. And it is very natural, very, very natural problem of any human being. So the every human being has a certain degree of jealousy. But it may proportion, the degree may vary from person to person. And this also disturbs a person a lot. And as a result of which, there'll be anger, there'll be likes and dislikes, there'll be other uncontrollable emotional situations. So here to resolve them, and this meditation upon Bhagavan, seeing everything as Bhagavan's glory, will help. I mean, definitely it will help neutralize one's emotions. One thing. Again, seeing everything as Bhagavan's vibhuti is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. It is a meditation. It will contribute for Antakarna Shuddhi. It will contribute for Antakarna Naishchalyam. It will contribute for managing one's emotions. It will contribute for resolving one's unwanted, unpleasant emotions, in terms of sixfold enemies, etc. Therefore, Bhagavad Vibhuti, seeing everything as Bhagavan's Vibhuti. I see other person's capacity to sing or capacity to talk, any efficiency, any proficiency, any skill, any talent, anything, when I see anybody enjoying, if I'm able to appreciate it as Bhagavan's glory, any fame belonging to anybody, for any expertise or skill actually belongs to Bhagavan. Any name, any popularity, any talent, any skill in anything also, whoever enjoys, and that actually is, that's a glory of Bhagavan. Actually, that skill belongs to Bhagavan, strength belongs to Bhagavan, fame belongs to Bhagavan. So any appreciation upward one has also for any talent, it actually belongs to Bhagavan. This is a fact. And whether you understand this fact or not, if you're able to appreciate this fact, is everything is Bhagavan's glory. Oh, look at the child, how beautifully she is dancing, how well she is singing. Look at that person, how nicely they are presenting. They're very nice, but it could have been like this. It's all, whenever you say but in appreciating other person, it's a sort of expression of some sort of, you're handling the unpleasantness, unhappiness. Therefore, it takes a great deal of effort to really manage and then openly appreciating everything as Bhagavan's glory. And for it becomes Saguna Brahma Upasanam, meditation upon Bhagavan, seeing everything as Bhagavan's glory. That's why this whole chapter is for Upasanam. In fact, how to meditate upon Bhagavan. Once you understand Bhagavan's Swarupam as your own Swarupam, when you meditate upon Bhagavan, that is contemplation, that is for assimilation. But here, you even seeing everything as Bhagavan. In fact, everything is Bhagavan. When you see everything is Bhagavan, it is knowledge. When you try to see everything as Bhagavan, this is visualization based on the fact of Bhagavan being the whole. So actually, meditation is based on the fact of Bhagavan being the whole. Actually, it is an imagination, visualization. Meditation is visualization based on Bhagavan, based on seeing everything as Bhagavan, based on the fact of Bhagavan being the whole. Whereas knowledge is seeing everything as Bhagavan. Knowledge is seeing the fact of Bhagavan being the whole. Whereas meditation is seeing Bhagavan as the whole based on the fact of Bhagavan being the whole. This is the only difference. So here, whenever any Dhyana Shloka describes Bhagavan, it's meant for seeing the meaning of the description of Bhagavan presented in any verse also, is actually for our own upasanam, seeing everything as Bhagavan. So here, the 10th chapter also, presents everything as Bhagavan's vibhuti. With this understanding, it is sent into the chapter. Just to make sure whether you're all there. Are you all there?
Yes, Swamini.
Yes, Swamini. Yes, okay,
thank you, thank you. Just to make sure, that's all. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha Vibhuti Yogo Nama Dashamodhyayah. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha Vibhuti Yogo Nama Dashamodhyayah. So here, again, to see everything as Bhagavan's vibhuti, we must also appreciate Bhagavan being the whole. And in order to appreciate Bhagavan being the whole, we must be able to see the whole Jagat as manifestation of Bhagavan. And to see the whole universe as the manifestation of Bhagavan. So we say the always the power of Bhagavan is not separate from Bhagavan, the source of the power. Therefore, Bhagavan as the source of the power, Bhagavan as the one who is endowed with the power, as the powerful Lord, Shaktiman Ishwaraha, Bhagavan alone is manifest as this entire universe. That is why, whereas universe and Bhagavan are not two different things. That verse, Kalidasa's verse should remind you. Vagrthaiva sampruktau vagrtha pratipattaye jagatav pitarau vande parvati parmeshau means, this is very, very beautiful verse. So I bow to Parvati Parameshwara, parents of this universe, and who are inseparably united like a word and its meaning. You can never separate the meaning of the word from the word. Similarly, you can never separate the universe from Bhagavan, the source of all strength and all knowledge. Therefore, the universe is another name for Bhagavan. Universe is Bhagavan. The whole cause, Lord and the universe are non-separate, inseparable. Understanding the fact of the whole universe being Bhagavan is in fact Advaita Darshanam, and for which this Vibhuti Yoga will help us appreciate this, to see everything as Bhagavan is meditation, Saguna Upasanam. That's why the meditation is not just taught only in 6th chapter. We have to appreciate this here. It's all for, again, better understanding of the concept of Ishvara. Okay, the more we appreciate everything as Bhagavan's glory, and then we effortlessly, there's a tremendous amount of reverence also will be in us towards everything in the world. Having a reverential attitude towards everything, see, itself is possible only when you appreciate everything as Bhagavan's glory. Therefore, Krishna, let us start here. Bhagavan begins, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. I read twice so that you can also read along with me or after me. At least in your own houses you can read. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Bhoya Yeva Mahabaho. Shrunu me paramam vachah. Bhoya yeva mahabaho. Shrunu me paramam vachah. Yatteham priyamanaya. Yatteham priyamanaya. Vakshyami hitakamyaya. Yatteham priyamanaya. Vakshami hita kamyaya. So here, Bhagavan himself starts speaking. Arjuna does not put forth any doubts or question. Krishna himself starts speaking. Krishna says, you are Priyamanaha. Priyamanaha means one who is being loved. Priyamana means being loved. Priyamanaha is the one who is being loved. One who is being loved. So Arjuna is Priyamanaha. The one who is loved by Krishna is Arjuna here. So Krishna says, Aham te aham vakshyami. Te to you, Arjuna, to you, aham vakshyami. I shall tell you. I shall reveal, I shall teach, I shall tell you. Aham vakshyami, I shall tell te you. I shall tell you. What shall I tell you? And then to whom? Why should I tell you? Why shall I tell you? Because you are Priyamanaha. You are beloved. You are somebody dear to me. Priyamanaha is one who is loved, is one who is very dear. You are very dear to me, Arjuna. I shall tell you, the dear devotee, dear one. You are dear to me. That why should I tell you? Hita kamyaya. Hita kamyaya. Hita means wellness, welfare. Is hita. So hita kamyaya. So hita kamyaha means the one who is interested in the other person's wellness is called, is said to be hita kamyaha. Hita kamya means having a wish. Wishing other person welfare is called hitakamya. So hitakamyaya, wishing your welfare, hitakamyaya, wishing your, because I'm interested in your welfare, being interested in your welfare, so wishing you well, Arjuna, I shall tell you, my dear student, my dear friend, and my dear devotee. And he says, Bhuyaha Shunu, hey Mahabaho, O mighty Amra Arjuna, Bhuyaha Yeva Shunu, listen to me again. Bhuyaha means again, Shunu. You have been listening to me all these 9 chapters, apart from first chapter. Second chapter onwards, so much I've been talking to you, been listening to me, I've been asking me questions, I've been clarifying your questions, I've been answering, by way of answering your questions also, I've been talking to you. But now again, Bhuyaha, again, hey Mahabaho, mighty armed Arjuna, me paramam vachaharshuno, exalted words, Arjuna, supreme words, okay, the great words, may you listen to my supreme words, exalted words. And I'm telling you this paramam vachaha, the great secret, the words of great wisdom, I'm going to reveal to you because I'm interested in your welfare, wishing your welfare. Hita kamyaya, I shall tell you again, and you are dear to me. You are loved by me. You are priyamanaha. Therefore, wishing you welfare, I shall tell you really in exalted words. The words of wisdom. So this all first verse, nothing much. Then, see, one can become Priyamanaha means one who's being loved, means Arjuna is a favorite disciple, favorite friend of Krishna. And what makes him, Arjuna, earn such a position? Because always all Pandavas are favorite for Krishna. The main reason was because they are always committed to Dharma. Pandavas could never go against Dharma. That is why Krishna was dear. They were all dear to Krishna. So that's main thing. See, if we have to become Bhagavan's dear students, Bhagavan's dear devotees, all that we need to do is, if we follow dharma, we commit ourselves to live a life of dharma, we also make efforts to live a life of dharma, I tell you, we're all Bhagavan's dear devotees. So Krishna tells here, Name vidusuraganaha. Name vidusuraganaha. Prabhavam namaharshayaha. Prabhavam namaharshayaha. Ahamadirhi devanam. Maharshinancha sarvashaha. Ahamadirhi devanam. Ahamadirhi devanam. Maharshinancha sarvashaha. Name vidusuraganaha. Prabhavam namaharshayaha. Ahamadirhi devanam. Maharshinancha sarvashaha. Krishna says, Bhagavan, all knowledge, almighty, Lord of everything, what does Bhagavan need to do? For him to be Bhagavan, he need not do anything to be Bhagavan, to be the Lord of everything, to be the source of all joy, to be the source of all knowledge, to be the source of all power. Bhagavan not do anything, which means Bhagavan is not dependent on anything, but still Bhagavan did not accomplish, achieve anything also. But still Bhagavan says, I shall teach you. That is because of Bhagavan's compassion for Arjuna. Bhagavan's compassion can be earned effortlessly only when we surrender ourselves to Bhagavan. And surrendering ourselves to Bhagavan means two things. O Lord, may you reveal thy vision sarupam to me. And then please bless me with all the qualifications I need to have your darshanam, to have your vision, to have yourself revealed in my own mind as my own self. Seeking the intense prayer for vision of Bhagavan, and for that purpose, to be eligible for that vision, and prayer for seeking the strength to live a life of dharma, to be eligible for that vision, is also surrender, is a prayer. And when that becomes our prayer, then there's a surrender. Definitely we tap Bhagavan's compassion. When Bhagavan's compassion is earned, Bhagavan will always be our well-wisher. Then Bhagavan will be a Hitakami. Hitakami, the one who wishes you well, is a Hitakami. And Hitakamyaya, and with the wishing the devotee wellness, and definitely Krishna would do blesses with whatever has to happen. And here Krishna says, Paramam Vachaha Aham Te Vakshyami. I'm going to tell you the exalted words of wisdom, which has been already talking. He continues. And Krishna says in this, Name Vidusuraganaha Prabhavam Namaharshayaha Aham Adirhi Devanam Maharshinancha Sarvashaha. Krishna says, Prabhavam, me Prabhavam, Suraganaha, Maharshaya, Arjuna, Prabhavaha means my glory, my origin, Prabhavaha. Where did Bhagavan come from? Where is Bhagavan? How is Bhagavan? What is Bhagavan? What is the origin of Bhagavan? Did Bhagavan come from somewhere? Or Bhagavan is always already there, always there? Like any doubt, origin of Bhagavan is Prabhavaha. So, may Prabhavam na viduhu means who do not know my origin. Me prabhavam my origin na viduhu do not know suraganaha here all the devaganaha the devas do not know my origin. Even Maharshayaha, the great rishis who are capable of, you know, seeing subtle facts just by their strength, even they do not know my origin. Maharshayaha, who are capable of discovering subtle facts, who are capable of being revealed of subtle facts, even they do not know my origin. Suraganaha, devas do not know my origin. The celestials, the beings of higher order, they do not know. Shastra talks about the beings of higher order, which we have no clue, but still we understand. Shastra says, even they do not know my origin. And who am I? Aham devanam adihi. Indeed, I am the first and the foremost of all the devas. Means I am the source, I am the origin, I am the first and the foremost of all the devas, which means I am the very source of all devas, I am the very origin of all devas. Devanam adihi, maharshinam cha adihi. I am the devas do not know my origin, maharshis do not know my origin, because how can they know my origin? Because I am their origin. I am the very origin of devas and maharshis. Therefore, they do not know my origin. See, for somebody to know something, if something happened after you are born, that is why no child can talk about one's own parents' marriage. The child wouldn't have been there. The marriage is one occasion, or the parents' occasion, which child could not have been there. So the child can never describe how the marriage happened, their parents' marriage, because the child's birth itself is after the marriage of the parents. Similarly here, Maharshayaha, Devaha, all the celestials and so-called Rishayaha, all of them have Bhagwan as their origin. Therefore, they do not know Bhagavan's origin. So Suraganaha Maharshayaha Me Padom Na Viduhu. Why? Because Aham Devanam Adihi Maharshinam Cha Adihi. I am the origin of Devas as well as the Maharshis in all respects Sarvashaha. It means neither Devas, celestials, gods know Bhagavan's origin, nor do the rishis know Bhagavan's origin, because Bhagavan is the very origin of all of them. What is your origin? Swarupam of Bhagavan. What is Bhagavan essentially? That jnanam is not there. So here, as long as you search for Bhagavan as an object, as long as you try to understand Bhagavan as an outset, an object, then so long will there be ignorance of Bhagavan. Not only that, as long as mind is extroverted, even though great sages and interest in discovering subtle facts, as long as their searches or all the investigation, experimentation, everything is only in the world of objects, then so long the attention is taken away from Bhagavan, means they can never understand Bhagavan being their own Swarupam. So here, that is why even Maharshis, great rishis, they do not know. So to know Bhagavan has no beginning. Bhagavan is the origin of everything. Bhagavan is the origin of everybody. And therefore, Bhagavan has to be discovered as one's own Swarupam. Until and unless they discover Bhagavan as their own Swarupam, they cannot know Bhagavan being their own origin also. So Krishna continues here. Yo mama jamanadincha veti loka maheshwaram. Yo mama jamanadincha veti loka maheshwaram. Asam modhas samartyeshu sarva papai pramuchyate. Yo mama jamanadincha. Yo mama jamanadincha. Veti loka maheshwaram. Asam modhas samartyeshu sarva papai pramuchyate. Yo mama jamanadincha. Veti loka maheshwaram. Asam modhas samartyeshu sarva papai pramuchyate. So Krishna again repeats the fact which has been being repeatedly said in the entire Shastram, the entire Gita. He says, see, saha sarva papaihi pramuchyate. That person becomes liberated from all forms of punya papams. Sarva papaihi means he is liberated from the bondage of agamic karma, sanchitam karma. Even he will be objective towards his paradha karma palam. Sarva papaihi means sarva punya papaihi. Sarva punya papaihi means sarva sanchita agami pati paradha karmaihi karmabihi. So saha sarva papaihi pramuchyate. This person will be liberated from all punya papams for good. So prakarshena muchyate iti pramuchyate. He will be liberated for good. Muchyate itself means he is liberated. Pramuchyate means he is liberated for good. Means once he becomes free from bondage of karma, he will not have again bondage of karma at all. Once liberated, he will be liberated for good. Sarva papaihi pramuchyate. Then why? Who is that person who will be sarva papaihi pramuchyate? Krishna says, no, yaha mam. No, he says, he is a absolutely free from all delusion, asam mudaha. The person who is sam mudaha means deluded. Sam mudaha means very highly deluded. Okay, highly deluded. And asam mudaha means one who is absolutely free from all delusions. Asam mudaha, no more delusion. The person who is free from delusion means who is free from, who does not lack discriminative knowledge anymore. The person who is blessed with the discriminative understanding of what is real, what is not real, what is satyam, what is mithya, such a person who is absolute of all delusions, he is not at all deluded. There cannot be delusion, confusion anymore for such a person. Such a person is the one who is liberated from the bondage of karma for good. Who is that person who is free from all delusions? See, delusion will resolve only when ignorance is resolved. So it is said, this ignorance of the truth, ignorance of Bhagavan is resolved. Ignorance of self is resolved. So if the self-ignorance is resolved, means ignorance of the truth is resolved. Ignorance of the truth is resolved means ignorance of Bhagavan being the whole also is resolved. Which means one who has the clear vision of Bhagavan being the whole in the light of the knowledge of the truth of the whole as one's own self. Such a person alone will be free from all delusions. Such a person will be liberated from bondage of karma for good. And who is that person? He says, Krishna says, Yaha Mam Ajam Anadim Lokamaheshwaram Cha Veti. Yaha Mam Veti. That's a very important line. Yaha Mam Veti Saha Asamudaha Sarva Papaihi Pramuchyate. Yaha Mam Veti. One who knows me. Yaha Mam Veti. He who knows me. That person who knows me. Yaha Mam Veti. One who understands Bhagavan properly. Here Krishna says, it's not enough if a person is worshipping me. It is not enough if a person is praying to me. Of course, praying to me is fine. Worshipping is fine. Living a life of dharma is fine. But still, one person who knows me, who understands me, who has a clear understanding of Bhagavan, who Bhagavan is, how Bhagavan is, that person alone is asammudaha, martyeshu asammudaha. He is the only person who is free from the delusion among all the mortals, the human beings. And among all the human beings, it is that person who alone will be liberated from bondage of karma for good. And how should a person have understanding of Bhagavan? Krishna uses three words, Ajam, Anadim, Lokamaheshwaram. Who is Bhagavan? Bhagavan is Loka Mahaishwaraha, Lokasya Mahaneshwaraha, Lokamaheshwaraha, the great, incomparable, only Lord of the entire objective universe. The only Lord of the entire objective universe is Lokamaheshwaraha, which means there's none who's other than, who's different from Bhagavan, other than Bhagavan. There's no other ruler of the universe other than Bhagavan. And who is that Bhagavan who is the only ruler of Bhagavan? Bhagavan who is essentially the truth of everything, obtaining as the truth of every individual. Therefore, one who knows me as the Lord of everything, Lokamaheshwaraha. And also, and to understand Bhagavan as the Lord of the whole, the great Lord of the entire objective universe, one must have the vision of Bhagavan. Understand Bhagavan being Ajaha. The nature of Bhagavan. What is Bhagavan essentially? Bhagavan is the formless truth essentially. Bhagavan who is in the form of all the forms. All the forms are Bhagavan. Bhagavan alone of all the forms. But Bhagavan who is the form of all the forms is actually of the nature of formlessness. And that Bhagavan is actually of the nature of timelessness. Therefore Bhagavan is unborn. Bhagavan has no birth, Bhagavan has no death, Bhagavan has no beginning. Bhagavan is Ajaha. Unborn means beginningless, endless, changeless. Reality is Bhagavan Swarupam. Essentially Bhagavan is that. So Bhagavan is not only that, Bhagavan Anadihi. Anadihi, again Ajaha means birthless. Anadihi means beginningless. And therefore this beginningless implies endless also. Bhagavan who is essentially the reality which doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end, therefore who is not born, and that Bhagavan is the only Lord of, only exalted Lord of, the ruler of everything. And one who understands me properly, how Bhagavan, what Bhagavan is essentially, thereby how Bhagavan, one understands Bhagavan appropriately, and such a person alone, martyeshu asammudaha, is the only one who is free from all delusions among the human beings, and he alone will be liberated from bondage of karma for good. Again, Krishna repeats and repeats tirelessly the connection between mokshaha and jnanam. That mokshaha, that becoming free from the bondage of samsara, becoming free from the whole bondage of karma, becoming free from sanchita agami, part of the karmas, thereby remaining free forever is possible only if you understand the truth in the form of Bhagavan of truth. For jnanam being the only means of freeing oneself from bondage is emphasized again in this verse, Yaha Mam Veti, he who understands me, being the Lord of the whole, who understands me in terms of essential nature as Ajaha Anadihi, such a person alone can attain, can become free from bondage of karma for good. Sarva papaihi pramuchyate. Once, if you understand Bhagavan Swarupam as one's own Swarupam, in the light of knowledge of Bhagavan Swarupam being one's own Swarupam, one's perspective over the self changes. Thereby one can see oneself being free from doership and enjoyership, and seeing this fact of one's own self being identical with Bhagavan, thereby being free from the wrong notions, doership, enjoyership, etc., that itself helps a person get rid of all the punya papams simultaneously. For sarva, he says, sarva papaihi pramuchyate. Jnanam is the only means of freeing oneself from bondage of samsara. That fact Krishna again repeats in this third verse. Buddhir jnanam sammohah kshama satyam damashamah sukham dukkham bhavo bhavah bhayam cha bhayam eva cha. So Krishna, you have to read the fourth and fifth verses together to get the complete sense. Buddhir jnanam sammohah kshama satyam damashamah sukham dukkham bhavo bhavah bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushtihi tapodanam yasho yashah bhavanti bhava bhutanam mattayeva prithagvidhah ahimsa samata tushtihi tapodanam yasho yashah ahimsa samata tushtihi tapodanam yasho yashah bhavanti bhava bhutanam mattayeva prithagvidhah buddhir jnanam sammohah kshama satyam damashamah sukham dukkham bhavo bhavah bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushtihi tapodanam yasho yashah bhavanti bhava bhutanam mattayeva prithagvidhah. Now Krishna tells here, mattaha eva means from me alone. Mattaha eva bhavanti. We see the fifth verse. Krishna says, mattaha eva bhavanti. We have to understand the meaning of fourth and fifth verses together. The meaning becomes complete only when you read them together. So, mattaha, from me alone. Mattaha eva, from me alone, bhavanti. Means from me alone, come into existence from me alone, everything originates, come into existence. What come into existence from Bhagavan, from me? Krishna says, Buddhihi means intellect, literally intelligence, the power of intellection, the intelligence, jnanam, knowledge, asammohaha. Break it, buddhihi, jnanam, asammohaha. So intelligence, the capacity to grasp and assimilate the teaching, sharp intellect, intelligence, and jnanam, knowledge of what I am, what Bhagavan is, that knowledge. Asammohaha. Asammoha means absence of delusion. Asammohaha. Then kshama. Kshama, see, sammohaha, delusion. Asammoha, absence of delusion, which means clarity. Absence of delusion. Then kshama. Kshama means patience. Patience or tolerance, endurance is a kshama. Kshama, forgiveness, patience, tolerance, endurance. Lot of patience, endurance is needed on the part of a spiritual aspirant. So kshama, then satyam, satyam, truthfulness. Sorry, satyam, then damaha. Damaha, repeatedly we see everywhere, Tattva Bodhana onwards, from day, the very introductory text onwards, any great Vedanta text also, even Taittiriya Upanishad, I am doing here, these disciplines are repeatedly emphasized everywhere, because unless and until we make effort by committing one's to live a life of dharma, one tries to have mastery over one's organs of actions and knowledge. We must be very conscious of what we are perceiving, enjoying. We must be very conscious of what we are doing. So in our actions, we must be aware of what we are doing, conscious of what we are doing, and must be aware of what we are allowing through our sense organs to enter into our mind. It means what we are doing also. So Dhamaha is a mastery over one's organs of knowledge and sense organs of actions. Which means one must be very alert to see before I do, I must take care what I do. So that I do not let my organs of actions involve in actions which are against Dharma. Similarly, I do not let my sense organs indulge in objects and things which distract me, which will distract me, take me away from the way of life enjoined by Shastram. Obstructive and obstacle for my pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, Dhamaha is having mastery over one's sense organs. And Shamaha, mastery over one's ways of thinking, one's mind. Mastery over one's thoughts. So any desire can arise, likes and dislikes can arise, anger can arise. Any thought can arise. We do not have any control over our thoughts. But still, even after the thoughts have risen, before the thoughts become expressed in the form of action, oral or physical activity, watching those thoughts, thereby, before they become expressed in our behavior, seeing that those thoughts do not take us to the wrong actions, which are against dharma, is what dhammaha. One's thoughts, mind. And these two disciplines are possible. If shamaha is there, dhammaha is also possible. And for both, definitely one must be conscious of what I should not be doing, what I should be doing, what I should not be doing to not to miss the knowledge of the truth and moksha, what I should be doing in order not to miss moksha and jnanam. So being conscious of what I should do, what I should not do sensorily, thought-wise and physically, for which this commitment to live a life of dharma is also important. Therefore, how much Bhagavan can emphasize, it is very, very important to live one's life consciously in conformity with the values. And for which I must be prayerful also to be blessed with strength to live a life of dharma. Only then shamaha and dhammaha are possible. Therefore, shamaha, dhammaha. And sukham. Sukham is actually pleasure, which everyone, sukham, pleasure is a time-bound state of mind, which is a result of our past punyam. And dukkham, again, time-bound experience of pain. This experience of pleasure and pain, which is of our mind, mental condition, is nothing but both are time-bound. Sukham and dukkham, the experience of pleasure and pain, which are time-bound in nature, which come and go, are nothing but results, the translations of our own previously done, knowingly, unknowingly done, right and wrong actions respectively. Then, bhavaha, bhavaha. Sorry, bhavaha. Sorry, bhavaha, abhavaha. Sorry. We say, sukham, dukkham, bhavo, bhavaha. Bhavo, bhavaha. If you see that where visarga, avagraha is there in between. Bhavaha, birth. Coming into existence is bhavaha. Abhavaha means disappearing from here. Abhavaha literally means the absence. But here, abhavaha should be taken as disappearance. So, bhavaha, appearance. Abhavaha, disappearance. So, appearance stands for birth. Disappearance means death. So, birth and death again, two natural, unchangeable, uncontrollable, changes. The natural phenomena which every individual is helplessly going through. Birth and death. There's not even one being who can escape birth, escape death. If we would have escaped means, we'd already escaped before coming into this world. We could not escape because we have no choice. Similarly, again, leaving from here also, we can't escape and go and hide anywhere because death also, that's where Lord Yama is said to be, time factor is said to be Lord Yamaha. The controller means one who is in the form of the very order from whose eyes we cannot escape. So death also is inevitable. And these two factors, Bhagavan talks about as bhavaha, and abhavaha, then bhayam cha abhayam. What is bhayam? Bhayam again is an undesirable, subtle phenomenon in the form of a thought which every human being has in one's mind. It is always how much fear a person has. What is the density? What is the intensity? What is the degree? What is the proportion of the fear a person has? If you want to know, nobody can measure. Everybody has fear because the fear is a phenomenon which is always dormant, latent in everyone's mind, and the fear cannot be removed. And there will be occasions, situations when the triggered the different degrees of fear will surface in everyone's mind, in everyone's life. Nobody is free from fear, because fear will be there. Where there is ajnanam, ignorance, there fear will be. The very birth itself is the proof that we are born ignorant. There's nobody who's superior, inferior here. All of us are born, means all of us are born ignorant. Natural. Some keeping with punya papam, we are going through, our lives, our experiences are different. No, we experience more pain, more pleasure, some comforts and discomforts. All these things are based on our punya papams. Apart from that, all of us are sailing in the same boat, that all of us are equally ignorant, and our birth itself is the proof for that. And being born ignorant, having ignorance unresolved, fear is inevitable, unavoidable, subtle phenomenon, always dormant in everybody's mind. And any situation, a given situation, can trigger that fear. Certain degree of fear always will surface, and we do go through that, the suffering and the burden of going through that fear, the phenomenon called fear. So there is a fear of death. So there will be fear of so many things. Then fear, also abhayam. Suppose fearlessness. The fearlessness is possible only when the ignorance is resolved. So there is fear. There is also fearlessness in the mind of a wise person, where what is fearlessness? The phenomenon called fear is resolved for good in the wake of the knowledge of the truth of Bhagavan being one's own self. And there is fearlessness. And similarly, ahimsa. Ahimsa. The himsa is hurting, violating dharma, violence. What is violence? When our word, thought, deed, if violates the universal law and order, disturbs the order, then there is violence, is himsa. But absence of violence, non-injury, non-hurting, non-violence is ahimsa. So that is why we say, when do we violate the order? When do we disturb the order? Whenever our actions go against the universal values, then we disturb the order, violate the order. There, and that is what results in experience of pain in terms of hurt. Therefore, ahimsa is non-violation of dharma. So non-injury, non-hurting, non-offending. Not offending physically, orally, or mentally. Not hurting the feelings also. By any wrong, any form of wrong action. Physical, oral, or mental action. Then samatha. Samatha is a feminine noun. Equal and neutral noun is samatvam. Which you know, samatvam yoga uchyate. Is samatha. Samatha means being equanimous. Equanimity is samatha, which means remaining balanced, without elation, without dejection, remaining the same, entertaining the sameness of mind in all situations, desirable, undesirable, pleasure and pain, all pairs of opposites, remaining the same without elation and dejection is samatha, samatvam, remaining balanced. And tushtihi means contentment. I tell you, tushtihi is another word for triptihi. Satisfaction, contentment. In fact, always contentment. We can be relatively contented when things are smooth and things go are happy, happen to our expectation. When things are not bad, then we say there is contentment. But absolute satisfaction and the contentment is possible only when we resolve the emotions for good. Only when you resolve the wrong notions about the self for good. And that is possible only in the wake of jnanam. Therefore, tushtihi, contentment. If we live a life of dharma, there will be relative contentment. If we have the jnanam, there will be absolute contentment. That is tushtihi. In such contentment, then tapaha. Tapaha is austerity, penance. Any effort a person makes with the commitment, with a strong will, the firm commitment, using one strong will, the person commit, does something, means it is tapas. Again, being able to be moderate in all one's pursuit, all one's actions and enjoyments of pleasures also tapaha. You know, Pooja Swamiji says, tapas, again you can say, just living a simple, prayerful, worshipful life governed by dharma, having Bhagavan as the ultimate goal is tapas. In Swamiji's words, which itself is austerity, penance, tapas. Then danam. Danam means charity, giving, which implies what is being given outside shows how generous, what is generosity on the part of a person. But danam, charity, generous, charity as expression of generosity is danam. Yashaha, fame. The fame, a person can earn fame, and one can enjoy the pleasure of having fame through righteous means or for any skill or talent or expertise one is blessed with. And that is also result of punyam, that is fame. Ayashaha, sometimes there'll be dishonor in life. Ayashaha, ill fame, dishonor is also possible. Whether we did something right or wrong, we did something wrong or without doing something wrong also, sometimes we may have to go through dishonor. Is also again only papa karma. Papa, the result of papa karma alone comes in one's life as the ill fame. For which a wrong action can be a means, or without having a wrong action, sometimes it may come. Then, prithagvidaha bhavaha. Now Krishna says, all these are different mental dispositions, different natural dispositions belonging to the beings. Natural dispositions of people. Bhutanam prithak bhavaha. Bhavaha means all these are natural dispositions of people, and all of them, Arjuna, do you think, where do they come from? Do you think they all originate from their minds, originate from somewhere? For all of them also have their origin in me, the Lord. Which means Krishna wants Arjuna to see if all of them have their origin in Bhagavan, means Bhagavan is the original source of all of them. Bhagavan in the form of the very reality, which is the source of all different dispositions, means if you are able to see everything, every mental disposition, every condition, every situation as something which has sources, for which source is Bhagavan. If you see, without Bhagavan being the source, nothing can exist here. Nothing can exist if Bhagavan is not the source. In fact, whatever exists has its source in Bhagavan only. So Bhagavan is the absolute, ultimate source of anything and everything here. Therefore, all these different dispositions of people, also natural disposition of people also have their origin in Bhagavan only. Why does Bhagavan make an effort to tell this? Because if Bhagavan himself tells them, all of them being, all of them having the origin in Bhagavan, it makes a person think a lot. Because we always tend to think, oh, all this, suppose sukham is because of my hard work, pain is because of my thing. We say, of course, our actions become nimittam. But actually, if they had to arise, where do they come from? Where do they exist? Where do they rise from? Where do they remain? Where do they resolve? Because all these dispositions are not there always. Come and go. They come, but they don't stay forever. They go, again they do not go away for good. They again come back. They come and go, come and go, come and go. If they come and stay forever, suppose, imagine, it be good sometimes. If they go and go away for good, we are free. No. That is why we are always tied. They come, you can never say, okay, pain came. Now pain has gone, I can relax because pain will never come again. We cannot say that. Okay, pain has come, oh my God, pain is going to be there forever. I cannot escape at all. That's not true. Pain comes, suffering is there, pain goes. But pain goes means you cannot say pain will not come back again, it will come again. So also pleasure comes. We enjoy pleasure. We cannot say, oh, pleasure has come, it's going to be there forever, I don't need to worry about anything. No, pleasure will go. The pleasure goes also, and then again pleasure will come back. All paths of opposites come and go. All these dispositions are subject to change. But still, change means they come and go means they always, they must have some substratum for all of them. Where do these mental various, the different dispositions, pritak bhavaha, where do they have their origin? Where did they rise from? Krishna says, mattaha eva bhavanti, bhutanam pritak bhavaha mattaha eva bhavanti. Pritak bhava, bhutanam pritak bhavaha. These different dispositions of people, all of them originally come from me alone. They have their origin in me alone, which means you have to think so that how I should see everything, anything which has Bhagavan as its source. If anything has Bhagavan as its source, then in fact everything has Bhagavan as its source. But we fail to see the fact of everything having Bhagavan as its source. That is the problem. If you are able to appreciate this fact, even if you do not know who Bhagavan is, if you are able to gradually accept Bhagavan is the truth, it means Bhagavan is everything, means all these things also, all these different dispositions also must have Bhagavan as its source. If you are able to gradually see it, then we can accept them, we can see them as glories of Bhagavan also. So, how is going to help us? How we can understand them? By understanding these dispositions as dispositions, having Bhagwan as their origin, how it's going to help us, etc., we'll see in our following class. Any questions? Nothing much today, but still we'll see. Bhagwan here presents your own problems. To see your own problems having the origin in Bhagwan. It's another way of seeing things. So how we should see it, how it's going to benefit us, I just narrated, just presented those Bhava things, but how I can appreciate, what is the benefit of appreciating the fact of all these different dispositions, having Bhagavan as their origin, that important lesson, which I'll do next class. No, I'll be there. Purnamo Dachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.